The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
But we are in the middle of a totalitarian fascist coup in this country.
There should be a breaking news banner on CNN and MSNBC all day long. Yes. We are in dictatorship now.
We are not on the verge of an authoritarian takeover. We are in the middle of an authoritarian takeover.
He wants to hurt this country.
The president is a criminal.
Right now, a crime family is atop the White House.
No one, including the president, is above the law.
Why do we have a significant swath of the country that is so ready to give the democracy away for a man who is a, you know, criminal, you know, has been civilly held liable for rape?
This man has been found liable for rape
and held liable for rape.
Liable for rape.
Liable for rape.
Liable for rape.
But of course, the big news of today centered around Jeffrey Epstein and President Trump.
I think most notably what people are looking for is mentions of President Trump, and there are thousands of them in these documents, graphic depictions of alleged sexual abuse, including of underage girls.
This email's breathing new life into a question that has loomed over Donald Trump. What is Donald Trump trying to hide, and why?
Trump is unfit for office.
He is parroting the exact words of Adolf Hitler.
This means war. That is where we are. We are at war with these people. These folks are evil.
The extremists that we're dealing with every single day, we've got to kill and confront that movement.
Clearly, you know, this is a literally call to arms.
We gotta grab a gun. We gotta turn around the guns on this fascist system.
You wake up tomorrow morning.
I hope that I see the obituary that we're all waiting for tomorrow. That's what I hope for.
Yeah. You're wishing that President Trump is dead?
Yes, absolutely.
Our First Lady Melania is here. Look at Melania. So beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow.
What's wrong with us that this man, that half this country, if you just watched 25 minutes of this show, you would go, this is a despicable human being. Forget anything else. It's just... And yet somehow, a large swath of this country is okay with it. What does it say about us? I'm running out of things to denigrate Donald Trump about. I'm running out of things to talk about what a bad human being he is. You could just talk for 9 hours. I'm not even going to list it. And I'm just, what's wrong with us? What is wrong with us, Nicole? How did we get here?
You've seen some of those clips before over the years. But in light of what happened this past weekend, I mean, and that manifesto, have we ever seen an assassin's manifesto align so perfectly with what passes for commentary on a nightly basis over at MS Now and CNN? You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com, or at the Rumble channel or the YouTube channel. Lots and lots to get to on today's show, including the media's role in the work of yet another assassin, as we wrote last night at the Trumpet Brief. I mean, the third attempt on President Donald Trump's life in, what is it, less than 2 years, three assassination attempts in, 20 months, 22 months? And like I said yesterday, it's Tuesday now, so we'll move on. And the character assassination will continue. And we'll wait for the next actual assassination. It'll happen again, I'm sure. First, a few of the other significant headlines. You had King Charles visiting with President Trump and his wife, Melania, who called upon Jimmy Kimmel to resign, by the way. Kimmel came out that clip in the cold open. He said that last Thursday on his program. He called Melania, you know, a widow or whatever. And this is 2 days before 2 days before Cole Allen went on his shooting spree there at that Hilton Hotel in D.C. But the Telegraph headline, coming back to King Charles. I've got to get used to that. And he's been king for quite a while. So anyway, I called my sister by her her maiden name probably for about 10 years before she finally corrected me openly and said, you know, I'm married. I've been married for 10 years. Anyhow, how did I get off on this? King Charles meeting with the president and his wife. And the Telegraph headline is, can he repair the special relationship? I mean, you've heard all about that special relationship on this program. The significance of it from a Bible prophecy standpoint and how that relationship unraveling, that too is significant in the Bible. We're seeing this special relationship, and you can put Judah into the mix as well, little Israel. And the strain on the relationship between America and Israel, it's not good. It's not good for these three countries. It's not good for the world's security either. And yet it's happening. And other nations, I mean, they are rushing to fill the void, the power void. And they see how vulnerable we are. They see our weaknesses. This is the Finnish president. He's the one that, I think it was at Davos last year, where he talked about how Europe can defend itself alone. It doesn't need America. And then I think it was like literally 2 seconds later where he was kind of backtracking because he realized how strong the statement was. But this is the Finnish president. His name's Alexander Stubb, who's commenting on how vulnerable America is because of just the overwhelming amount of debt that we're buried in. And he's right about this. But for him to talk about it openly, I mean, it's shocking to hear. This is clip 9.
We do have market power. We sometimes forget that the United States is heavily indebted to the rest of the world, and we are some of their principal creditors, some $21 trillion.
Yeah.
That should give us leverage.
Kind of need to unite in this world, and I think that's what we're seeing. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, but you know, there are two things that are unifying Europe right now more than the Draghi report and the Letta report. One is security pressure coming from Russia. I've never seen us as united as we have been during this war. I mean, even Hungary now. And then pressure coming from the United States. So we're coming together.
You see two important themes jumping from that exchange that are significant prophetically. $21 trillion. We're the principal creditors, he says, I guess referring to European nations. You can put China, Japan into the mix as well. We sometimes forget that the U.S. is heavily indebted to the rest of the world. Are you listening, Mart of Nations? I mean, when the U.S. collapses, there's a lot of nations, a lot of Western nations that are going to go with it. But this just brings to mind what Herbert Armstrong said about an economic crisis triggering the final culmination of these prophesied events to happen just before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. The Mart of Nations aligning against America. You talk about a common theme these days at any of these conferences. I don't know the name of this one. You see it there on the screen. But any of these conferences, they're talking about we've got to unite, and we've got to unite really in opposition to the United States. Like I say, it's pretty shocking to hear it, to hear someone say it openly. This was the Canadian PM, Mark Carney, and what he said. I don't know if it's at the same conference or a different one, but clip 10.
And many of our former strengths built on our close ties to the United States have become our weaknesses. The U.S. has changed. That's their right. And we are responding. That is our imperative. We are responding with speed and ambition, focusing on what we can control, which is to build our strength at home and diversify our partnerships abroad.
You know, a lot of countries rushed into deals with the U.S. Mm-hmm. They weren't really worth the paper they were written on. Tell me which country you bumped into that's pleased with their deal with the U.S.
You don't think there are any?
Well, certainly not in private.
Talk about, you know, a brotherly relationship unraveling. You see it with the UK and the US, and of course we've seen it with Canada in the US. And in a lot of ways, Carney's speaking for the rest of the world in opposition to the United States. The world, here it is, the March issue, remember this? The world is uniting against America. They're aligning against America. And that's significant. I mean, you're going to hear again a lot of that cognitive dissonance, as I said yesterday. American officials, Jeroboam's officials out there saying how much, you know, our position is stronger than ever. The world loves us. And then you hear these kinds of statements from world leaders. They despise America. They can't wait to see America fall. And the higher you up, like Herbert Armstrong said in the United States and Britain in prophecy, the harder the fall. I mean, just looking at America's vulnerability with respect to the economy, the federal debt. I mean, there was a time when the British pound was the reserve currency of the world. That was not that long ago. That was just in the last century. And what happens when the mart of nations, the prophesied mart of nations, align in opposition to America, and America's economy collapses? Well, a lot of other economies are going to go with it, but it just shows you how intense the hatred and the contempt is for America, for some of these nations to say, you know what, I don't really care if it impacts the world economy adversely. It's time for America to crash. It's time for America to come down. I mean, basically what we're going to see is leaders that are aligning against America taking on the same mindset as that of an assassin that just wants to, I mean, he's willing to give up his own life if he can kill or murder the pedophile, the rapist, and the traitor. That's what we've been hearing on this side of the pond in America for years. I mean, from the start of his first term, 2016 and 17, he's a traitor. He's in cahoots with Vladimir Putin. He's a special Russian agent. He couldn't have beat Hillary Clinton without Russia, without Putin. And then you have all the bogus rape cases. And then, of course, Jeffrey Epstein, where there's plenty of evidence that would actually be used to take out real pedophiles. And as it is, I mean, they get a pass. And then the talking heads in the regime media, they may not come out and actually use the word pedophile like they did rapist or traitor. But when they link Trump to Jeffrey Epstein, everybody knows what they're talking, and their social media sites, they take it and run with it. I mean, they use pedophile, no problem. And then here comes the killers. Here comes the killers' manifesto. I just couldn't stand by any longer and let this rapist carry on in the White House. The pedophile. He's a traitor. I've got to kill him. So I just want to say up front, I'm sorry to my parents. I know this isn't the Christian thing to do. I'm sorry to so and so. I'm sorry, but I got to do it. I have to murder the president of the United States. That, like I said yesterday, that spirit, that mindset, it's not limited to Cole Allen. Far from it. It's there in the talking heads as well. The ones that would read from the manifesto on national TV, on the reputable CNN, 60 Minutes, not even cable, CBS. Byron York at the Washington Examiner Gunman's manifesto is anti-Trump social media come to life. And really, social media is sugarcoating it. I mean, this is mainstream news. You heard them screaming in the cold open. Like many would-be killer before him, Cole Allen, the name, the armed man who allegedly crashed the White House correspondence dinner in hopes of killing President Trump, and top administration officials wrote a manifesto explaining his actions. He laid it out there. In case you're listening, dear leader, he told us why he did it. He gave us all the motivations, and they square perfectly with CNN and MS Now and Morning Meltdown and CBS, ABC, all of them. You wonder why Donald Trump would ever even set foot in the lion's den, just like I said on the show yesterday. Makes no sense. It shows how much vanity is a problem, as well as the spirit of murder. Satan has certainly surcharged the air with his spirit, his attitudes, his moods, his impulses. Ephesians 2:2. It says it right there in the Bible. Like I said yesterday, I mean, you listen to the commentary following on another assassination attempt, and you see how confused this world is, even conservative commentators. And you see just how far removed we are from the Bible, from the truth about the Holy Spirit. I was going to say the human nature in man. I mean, the truth about that's in there too, but yeah, I mean, we could easily do a show on the Holy Spirit as well, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of a sound mind. So what is it saying when you see so much mental unsoundness, so much mental instability? The demons, the millions of demons, the legions of demons that Jesus encountered in the first century, they're still around. In fact, Revelation 12 says they're confined to this earth. It's like they're incarcerated on earth. That would be our planet. What do we have? 7-8 billion people? How many demons are there? We don't know for sure. No doubt hundreds of millions, maybe billions. It wasn't a crazy manifesto like the Unabomber. Well, I mean, every manifesto is crazy, but I guess this one didn't pass for crazy because it sounded like MS Now. It sounded like Joe Scarborough. And as long as you put on a, you know, a nice suit and tie and you say, yeah, he's a rapist. He's a pedophile. He's Hitler. That passes, I guess, for sanity now. That passes for good commentary. The manifesto could have easily been run on the teleprompter on MS Now on any given night the last 10 years, and anyone listening would have thought, well, yeah, I heard that last night. I heard that last week. Trump is a traitor. I knew this. Jim Sciutto and Jake Tapper told me in 2017. and they're still around. Jake Tapper was at a party with Jimmy Kimmel and all the Hollywood celebrities. All the pictures circulating online. Yep, you've got all the radical left-wing celebrity stars together with Jimmy Kimmel, the not-so-funny man, just telling a joke, quote-unquote, about Melania being a widow. And guess who's at the dinner party smiling away? This is CNN. Jake Tapper, unbelievable. It wasn't an identity-consumed manifesto like the Tennessee transgender shooter. Instead, it was an oddly cheerful document, especially given that Allen appeared to expect to be killed in the attack. But more than anything, Allen's manifesto resembled the reams, this is Byron York, the reams of anti-Trump boilerplate one sees on some left-leaning social media. Here again, in the manifesto, he says, I just can't permit a pedophile, a rapist, a traitor to coat my hands with his crimes. That's pretty good writing. He may have gotten some help from Bill Ayers. I just can't allow for the president to coat my hands with his crimes. It's a very, very familiar expression to anyone who has spent any time reading resistance social media. And Byron York says, first, you know, the pedophile charge, that's Jeffrey Epstein. All over the media, the left-wing media, and then the rapist part. You got E. Jean Carroll, that lawsuit, something that happened, actually that didn't happen, but supposedly happened 40 years ago, I think it was. Just some woman comes forward, yeah, he raped me. And, oh, Jake Tapper thinks that's a reputable source. Or when they think of Jeffrey Epstein, they just think Trump. They don't think Bill Clinton. They don't think Bill Gates. Just Trump. Get Trump. And they're going after him to get him. What a perverse relationship, by the way. You use all of your tools, your resources. I mean, ABC and Disney, they don't make any money off Jimmy Kimmel. They're losing money. So it's like an in-kind donation to the Democrat political party. Yeah, we'll put them on TV, even though it loses a lot of money for us, so that he can joke about Trump being assassinated. And then he catches some flack from the First Lady, and he comes out and says, I'm not going to apologize. I was joking. We can tell jokes. Free speech, right? Free speech. Traitor. That's the Russia hoax. It's all there in the media. And it's all there in the manifesto. So they go to work, the regime media, stirring up all these false accusations against the man they hate, or anyone they hate, but especially Orange Hitler. And then the false accusations, no matter how bizarre and ridiculous they may be, they gain some traction on social media. And it's like I said, you go to any news site on the left wing under the stories or left wing social media feeds, and you see rapist, traitor, pedophile all over the place. And nobody bats an eye. The people that are monitoring the comment, we have monitors on our sites, but the ones monitoring those sites, they don't take them down. They just leave them up there. And then that social media environment becomes the environment that a lot of radical activists thrive in and develop their radical, extremist, murderous views. And then some of those radicals are willing to go all the way in their extreme actions in the spirit of murder and hatred. And then the media, they feign outrage when it happens. I was at the White House press correspondents' dinner. There was one journalist who actually said, I don't think I can go to another Trump event. It's too dangerous. Well, who created the dangerous environment? You point the finger at others and you've got three pointing right back at you. That's the way it is for the media. I played this yesterday on the show, Nora O'Donnell, she just couldn't wait to get into the manifesto. This is big news. You know what? I mean, yesterday I said, it wasn't that long ago that the manifesto, if it was a left-wing, you know, hateful, bizarre, crazy, demonic it wasn't that long ago where they'd try to bury it and suppress it so that you can't live. Think of the Las Vegas shooter. We still don't know much about him because everything was scrubbed. Everything on social media was deleted. It was blotted out because he hates conservatives. He hates country music fans. So he went on a murder rampage. And then he disappeared. His reputation disappeared. His background disappeared. But, this one didn't. And yesterday I talked about how Trump derangement syndrome is probably the reason for that. But just in thinking about it more this morning, I think another reason why it actually got some traction in the media the next day after the assassination attempt is because it aligns so perfectly with MS Now and CNN and CBS. I think the murderer has a point. I think the wannabe assassin makes a pretty good point here. Here's that exchange on 60 Minutes the other night, again, clip one.
He appears to reference a motive in it. He writes this, quote, administration officials, they are targets. And he also wrote this, I am no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes. What's your reaction
to
that?
Well, I was waiting for you to read that because I knew you would, because you're horrible people, horrible people. Yeah, he did write that. I'm not a rapist. I didn't rape anybody.
Do you think he was referring to you?
Excuse me. I'm not a pedophile. You read that crap from some sick person. I got associated with all stuff that has nothing to do with me. I was totally exonerated. Your friends on the other side of the plate are the ones that were involved with, let's say, Epstein or other things. But I said to myself, you know, I'll do this interview and they'll probably, I read the manifesto, you know, he's a sick person, but you should be ashamed of yourself reading that because I'm not any of those things.
Mr. President,
and I
these
was
are
never,
the excuse
Dunham's me,
words.
Excuse me. You shouldn't be reading that on 60 Minutes. You're a disgrace, but go ahead. Let's finish the interview.
The other thing that he wrote in
you're
the
disgraceful.
You know, in hearing that again, we played it yesterday, but Trump responded by saying, you know, your friends connected to Epstein. That's where he dropped the ball. You know, he gave all of the actual pedophiles a pass. They moved on. There's nothing. President Trump, he just used Epstein. And it wasn't that long ago when he said all the Epstein stuff was a hoax. That was last year. And, you know, he and Pam Bondi, they were wanting to cover it all up. Yeah, let's move on. There was that one exchange, and he said, are you really bringing up Epstein again? And then here he is, Sunday night, bringing it up again. Why? Well, he has to defend himself. Because Norah O'Donnell couldn't wait to bring up the talking point, the left-wing radical talking point on the manifesto. Says you're a pedophile. And Jeffrey Epstein, his relations with pedophiles, I mean, how do you respond to that? And then she's, for her part, as I said yesterday, so you're thinking he referred to you. Well, yeah, that's right. He said it outright. The bizarro relationships, they're all over the place here. It's not just the radical regime media together with these wannabe assassins. It's also the relationship that President Trump has with the radical regime media. As I said yesterday, he waltzes right into the White House press correspondents' dinner. And then the next day, after he's nearly assassinated, he sits down with, you can't make this up, 60 Minutes. And then what about the president's relationship, or lack thereof, with the Epstein files? Sometimes it's important. Sometimes he needs to push back with it, like he just did there in that clip. And sometimes he needs to call it a hoax. What is going on? Truth, like it says in Isaiah 59, truth fails. Truth, Daniel 8, is cast to the ground. There is no, I read it yesterday, Hosea 4, there is no truth in the land. Instead, you get to see, I mean, they're just all over the place. I mean, so much of commentary today reads like a bizarre manifesto in many ways. It's because Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. There was a clip that popped up on social media yesterday or this morning of this Cole Allen guy, the wannabe assassin. It's from 2017, and there's a news media feature on him. I mean, it seems like it's a pretty innocent segment. But all of these assassins, three of them in just 22 months, they've all had this relationship with the media as well. And the media doesn't want to tell you this. They certainly don't want to amplify this reality. But isn't it interesting that you see these hardcore, radical left-wing murderers? And I mean, they're consuming a steady diet of, like so many others, like millions of others, a steady diet of regime media content, of Jimmy Kimmel, of Hollywood entertainment, of, you know, sports celebrities or coaches, sports commentary. I mean, it's hard to get any more left-wing than that. Why does this radical left-wing ideology just saturate popular culture, news media, the university campus? I mean, it's, you look at all these ways that the communist influence has infiltrated the United States, and it really and truly is a miracle that President Trump is even in office. And again, in a lot of ways, you know, President Trump and a lot of his supporters are pretty liberal in their views of morality, for sure. So it's not like it's some ultra-conservative administration. But given the satanic hatred, traitor, rapist, pedophile, Hitler, what more can you label him with? How much lower can you go? He's Benedict Arnold. He's a convicted rapist. He's a pedophile. Jeffrey Epstein's best friend, I guess. And then, like you heard in the cold open, he's also Adolf Hitler. and then when the assassination attempt happens, oh, I can't believe this. Play clip two from, this is Cole Allen in that Allen, from that segment back in 2017. Clip two.
College student Cole Allen developed a prototype for a wheelchair emergency brake.
The wheelchair brakes tend to lock the wheels, but don't actually lock the chair to the ground. The idea with this is to prevent it from moving at all.
Recent Aging into the Future conference held by St. Barnabas Senior Services and the Eisner Foundation offered a test run on products that have the potential to enrich the lives of seniors.
Okay, just as an aside, when my hip really and truly gives out entirely, I'm going to get one of those. But leave that aside. The man that was promoting this is the one that tried to kill President Trump on Saturday night. I'm not trying to draw any connections here or create conspiracy theories. But given what happened with this Thomas Crooks guy, and then the Ruth fella as well, the one that tried to kill Trump at the Palm Beach golf course, he was on the news and celebrated as this, I think he wanted to volunteer in Ukraine or something. This is from 2022. It's a BlackRock ad with Thomas Crooks. He's the Butler assassin, the Butler, Pennsylvania guy. Clip three.
My name is Brian DeLallo. I teach AP and Honors Economics in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Financial well-being to me is knowing that I can be free to do the things that I love to do. I hope when I retire someday, they say, you know, that guy made this place a special place to come to school and gave as much as he could to help the community.
He circled in red, the guy that was laying atop that metal building, took a shot at President Trump. If not for the head tilt, he would have been an actual assassin. Not a would-be. The other one, Ryan Ruth, this is from National Review, but after years spent developing a rap sheet that included involvement in an armed standoff with police after a traffic stop in 2002 and other lesser offenses, Ruth rebranded himself as a Ukrainian resistance fighter who was taken seriously by reporters sitting for interviews with several major media outlets the past 2 years, including the New York Times, Semaphore, and Newsweek. You can see this kind of romantic relationship between the talking heads dressed up in nice suits and then the murderers. It's like Van Jones said yesterday in that clip I played. You know, how much time will it be before they start celebrating Cole Allen as a hero? If only he would have taken out Trump and J.D. Vance along with it. Maybe Hegseth. Was Hegseth there? Melania, too. She needs to go. They're probably already saying that on left-wing sites. Jonathan Turley. He says, it's so hard to live ethically in an unethical society. He's quoting the New York Times. That lament heard this week from the New York Times opinion culture editor, Nadja Spiegelman, could well be the Democratic Party's epitaph. Spiegelman was interviewing two left-wing influencers about how everything from shoplifting to murder may be excusable today in light of the unfairness they see in society. You heard that right. A New York Times podcast. They're just casually having a discussion about, well, you know, in some cases, murder might be acceptable. Same with shoplifting. I mean, you think about those quotes, and he was right, where Mr. Armstrong said, ultimately, the goal of this radical communist infiltration is to bring down the system, to bring down the government, the ruling class, at least the part of the ruling class that they hate, that they despise, because there's plenty of left-wing billionaires for sure, like George Soros. But I mean, when it's Trump, when it's that healthcare CEO, I mean, the assassin has a right to kill him because there's so much unfairness and injustice in the world. The murder is justified. The podcast, it says, a product of the nation's newspaper of record, reveled in the moral relativism that has taken over the American left. It featured the ravings of the anti-Semitic Marxist streamer, Hassan Piker, who calmly explained how the murder of United Healthcare executive Brian Thompson was perfectly understandable. This is on a New York Times podcast. This is supposedly the newspaper of record. And they're inviting a guest that says, you know, yeah, murdering Brian Thompson, that United Healthcare executive, it was justified. His rationalization came from Marxist revolutionary Friedrich Engels, who had called capitalism social murder. If capitalists are social murderers, then why not kill them? That's the reasoning. If Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler, then why not kill him? If Donald Trump is a pedophile, then why not put him to death? He deserves it. If he's a traitor, if he's Putin's puppet, then kill him. Spiegelman explained that shoplifting can be justifiable because people are stealing from Whole Foods, not just for the thrill of it, but out of a feeling of anger and moral justification. Where does this stop? You know, how does this end? You heard yesterday, amid all of this, President Trump is talking about how unified and loving both sides of the aisle are. Even as he went into the correspondents' dinner, he saw it. I mean, it was palpable. You could feel it in the air. The spirit was the spirit of love. And then shots rang out. And then they had to evacuate. Or then they had to get under the tables and hide out from the killer. President Trump and his people, and Jake Tapper and his people. New Yorker writer Gia Tolentino also contributed to the podcast titled The Rich Don't Play by the Rules, So Why Should We? There you go. Well, you heard that in the cold open. there were some individuals that said, listen, we've got to take up arms. We've got to get guns and ammunition. We're living under a totalitarian dictatorship. Like I said, I mean, where does this end? How does this end? If you don't know anything about the Holy Bible, well, I mean, these would be terrifying exchanges or articles that you're reading. And then you see what happens in that Hilton hotel over the weekend, and think about how that it's been the third time in 3 years. 2 years, sorry, 2 years. The result is the type of moral freefall and rejection of personal responsibility expressed on the New York Times podcast. Simply because they condemn our entire age as unethical, they feel justified in asserting a moral right to commit any offense from micro-looting to murder. They're justified because everyone else is unethical. Everything about the world we live in is unfair. So take to the streets. Jump into a mob. Loot CVS or Whole Foods, whatever it is. And if they take out the executive at United Healthcare, I mean, cheer them on. Applaud them. They're doing us all a service. In the manifesto, Cole Allen says, oh, and if anyone is curious how doing something like this feels, it's awful. I want to throw up. I want to cry for all the things I wanted to do and never will, for all the people whose trust this betrays. I experience rage thinking about everything this administration has done. Rage. This man was enraged. He was also brainwashed by Morning Meltdown. As he echoed the talking points that you hear over and over again, 10 plus years. This was on The Five last night, clip four.
This was a Kamala Harris donor. He was a No Kings protester. And the things he was saying in the manifesto or online, indistinguishable from what you hear in Congress or, I don't know, cable. So there are millions, tens of millions of people just like this guy. And he was highly motivated. He traveled across the country to kill. Well, who else did that? The guy who tried to kill Kavanaugh and Ryan Ruth. Mm-hmm. And you read the manifesto and the motive is clear. And then you hear Barack Obama come out and you say, well, while the motive remains unclear, what? Mm-hmm. It's like Barack's a part of the cover-up. And the media is still trying to cover it up. They're saying, you know, violence on both sides, you need to lower the temperature. The violence is really going, for the most part, in one direction. You got Trump three times. You got Kirk. You got Kavanaugh. You got Scalise. Rand Paul's neighbor cracked his ribs. There was just another guy they had to shoot down by Secret Service because he tried to bust into Mar-a-Lago with a shotgun. It looks like the Democratic Party has become a violent revolutionary movement because they're powerless, that what they're doing is inspiring their base to violently overthrow the government.
I disagree with Jesse. This guy did hear voices. They were Tim Walz's. They were Ted Lieu's. They were Brandon Johnson's. They were CNN's. They were The View. They were MS Now.
Exactly right. There's tens of millions more who think just like Cole Allen. Whether or not they're prepared to get a shotgun and a handgun and travel halfway across the country, others have for sure. Their mindset is the same. You see it not just in the killers, but as Jesse noted, I should have added this to the mix as well. I've kind of concentrated on the regime media. But you hear similar talking points in Congress. You hear it, as he said there at the end. You hear it from Tim Walz. You hear it from Ted Lieu. You hear it from Kamala. You hear it from the Dear Leader. It's all over the place. There, like I said yesterday, the radical left-wing regime is out of power at the moment. They don't have control of Congress. But I mean, it's a razor thin majority for Republicans, and so many of those Republicans are weak rhinos. And then you have President Trump at the top, and the rage that so many of these people have for him, it's not abating, it's not lessening, it's not diminished because they're out of power. It's intensifying. 3 assassination attempts in 21, 22 months. Listen to this clip from Maria Bartiromo, clip 5.
And I've been making this point all morning, Paul. This stuff doesn't happen without the media amplifying some of this terrible, you know, conversation happening from politicians. You've got a cabal of people in Washington that are attacking President Trump and all of his supporters nonstop. Nazi this, pedophile this, that, and the other thing. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. And when the media constantly talks about this stuff, like that gotcha interview that President Trump did last night, there was absolutely no reason for her to read the whole manifesto. We all know it's not true. For her to read all that was classic gotcha, gotcha, gotcha for the president. But she did. And that's the kind of stuff that you amplify this, and it sparks people who may have mental problems to go think that they have to fix things.
So, you know, there's some pretty good commentary in response to what happened over the weekend. But what will change? How do you change the mindset or the nature of the human heart? How do you get rid of this spirit of murder? The spirit of Cain, as it says in, I think it's one of Peter's epistles, it says we've gone the way of Cain. And by we, it means the whole of human civilization. That's the course that we're on. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 talks also about the course of this world. How we're just going along according to the sway and the influence of the devil. God has to correct this. God has to intervene, and he will. And then there has to be widespread repentance, national repentance, individual repentance. It's interesting, really, when this happened. It was on Saturday evening. I guess the one in Butler, that happened on a Sabbath evening as well. But it was just a few days, what was it, last Tuesday, I think it was, that President Trump was reading from the second half of 2 Chronicles 7 in the Bible reading. He read the verse you've heard so many times, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven." It's conditional, see? They have to turn from their wicked ways. They have to seek God's face. They have to humble themselves. And God says, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. The land needs healing. And it's not going to happen by some statement or verse quoted. And in this case, it's often misquoted. It's only going to happen after repentance, turning from wickedness. We all were able to listen into or view just a powerful and sobering presentation of the Book of Lamentations on stage at Armstrong Auditorium this past Sunday. A beautiful oratorio. I mean, so much wonderful, powerful, beautiful music. But then the brochure that was printed in advance, everybody sitting in there, it was about 600 people. Most of them not from this church, by the way, just out from the community. And just reading along from the Book of Lamentations, which, as my father brings out in his Lamentations booklet, contains perhaps the most beautiful poetry in the Bible. It's beautiful poetry, but it's horrific. What it's describing is horrific. And God, through that message, is trying to help for us to understand, to better understand his emotion. When he looks at what our sins are doing to us, when he looks at what our sins are leading to, a few people have pointed out how that following Herbert W. Armstrong's death in January of 1986, January 16th, 1986, Herbert Armstrong's the one that came in the spirit and the power of Elijah in fulfillment of many prophecies in your Bible. And his ministry lasted for more than 50 years. He boldly proclaimed the true gospel to this world, calling upon our nations to turn to God in repentance, to turn from their wicked ways. And I think it was 100 days after his death that you had that Chernobyl tragedy, which was almost like a nuclear bomb explosion. And basically, it turned this place, this area, this community into a nuclear waste site. The program that we saw on Sunday, that too was 100 days on from the anniversary of Herbert Armstrong's death this past January, January 16th, was the 40-year anniversary of Herbert Armstrong's death. I mean, God is trying to set our minds on the reality of what's coming, and he is going to great lengths to show us, even with beautiful music and wonderful poetry, how emotional he is about what's coming. He is doing everything possible to get our attention, to wake us up, to turn our hearts to him, to humble us. Think about missing out on God's kingdom, God's coming kingdom, because of vanity, because of arrogance, because of a refusal to confess sin, to admit admitting you're wrong or to admit error. How many people fall into that category? Well, only God knows. But you look at that Olivet prophecy, as I've covered recently. You look at what Jesus talks about happening right before the return of Christ. You look at Great Tribulation. You look at the admonitions that we receive to, you know, to watch, to pray, to not get caught up in the things of this world, to not get caught up in a rebellious attitude or spirit, which is, as my father has said, it's like a drug. It's like heroin. To watch and pray and to be ready to escape. To escape what's coming. Lamentations 2 in verse 11 says, "My eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, 'Where's the corn and wine? Where is it? Where are the blessings? Where's the prosperity? Where's the peace?' When they swooned as the wounded in the streets of the city," it says, "when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom." There's plenty of commentators, that are biblical commentators, that are going to say, well, this is just ancient history. I mean, it happened so many. Did it happen like this? Like it's described in Lamentations? And supposing it did, okay, we'll play along. Supposing it happened thousands of years ago, why was it so important to God to canonize it in Scripture? Five chapters. The Lamentations of Jeremiah. Something to think about. We've got a booklet. My father wrote it. We recently updated it last fall. It's one of our newer booklets in the church literature library. If you don't have it, make sure you go to our website, thetrumpet.com. You can download the latest version today, or you can call our operators. You see the 800 number there, and request your free copy of that Lamentations booklet. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.